know what that sound means. It's another exciting installment of the Van Brawl Season Podcast, where we talk local sports, both the Atlanta Pro franchises, like the Braves, Hawks, Falcons, and we also talk the University of Georgia Bulldogs. So strap in, guys. It's another exciting episode about to start right now. What is up, Podcast Land? It is your host, Jam and Joe of the Fan for All Seasons Podcast. And on this week's episode, we're going to be talking some University of Georgia Bulldog football as the Dogs are coming off an impressive victory over the Ole Miss Rebels on senior night, 52-17. And as I said, we'll be talking a lot of Georgia football on this week's episode with a very good guest of the week via the Fan for All Seasons fan line here in a little bit. This is episode 253 of the Fan for All Seasons podcast. I'm really looking forward to this week's show, talking a lot of Georgia football with our guest of the week. But before we get into the Georgia football conversation, guys, it's time to get one word from our sponsor. And Fan for All Seasons is brought to you in part by Georgia Smoke Barbecue, authentic original oak smoked barbecue catering. You can learn more at georgiasmoke.com. And we'll be connecting with our guest of the week via the Fan for All Seasons fan line here in 1 second. And Fan for All Season fans, we're back. We've connected with our guest of the week this week. And this guy has been on my podcast before. He is a proud University of Georgia alum like myself. He is very successful in the world of marketing. He is the man, the myth, the legend, Mike Helene. Mike, welcome back to Fan for All Seasons.
Hey, Joe. It's an honor to be back on your show, man.
So, Mike, we're going to get this started with a little Georgia football conversation. And the first topic I want to talk with you about, Mike, is you've been to a lot of games in Sanford Stadium and a lot of night games in particular. What has been your favorite night game you've ever attended in Sanford Stadium, and your time as a student at Georgia or as an alum?
Oh man, I'll tell you what, I didn't know the answer until you asked me, but I remember a game when I was a kid and my dad took me, and the game ended, and I'll have to go now look this up because I don't, you know, I pride myself on knowing the years and that kind of thing, but there was a game in the pouring rain where Georgia had a fourth down goal line time expiring stand, and I think it was against Tennessee, but I'm not sure, but I'm thinking this is like in the 80s when I was a kid. And my favorite part was we won the game and everyone celebrated, and my dad, you know, this is 30 years ago, we ran home through the rain, and we just were pretending the cars were blockers. And we were, like, running back and forth and trying to find openings on the street to get back to our parking spot. This feels like the Richard Tardif era. I mean, this is a long, long time ago, but that's a great nighttime memory. The other one that I really, really remember is in 91, the day that the Braves clinched the NLS. Worst to first, with Smoltz jumping into Greg Olson's arms. That was a home game that night against Clemson. And Georgia won that game, and 80,000 people were doing the tomahawk chop. And I was 12 at that time. It was 91. And that was a real great marriage, kind of a, you know, Braves lore and Georgia Bulldogs lore. It was a Garrison Hurst year. That was a great night as well. We beat Clemson, and they were ranked higher than us, and the whole stadium was doing the tomahawk chop. That was a great one at night.
Definitely. Well, I like how you went back down memory lane there, especially that 91 year. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mike, but I'm pretty sure Eric Zier was the quarterback for Georgia that day against Clemson. I'm pretty sure Eric Zier was the starting quarterback for Georgia.
That sounds right to me. I cannot deny. Nor confirm, but that sounds right to me.
For sure. Well, the atmosphere in Sanford Stadium last Saturday night against Ole Miss has got to be stuff of legend from what I've seen. What were your thoughts on what we saw from Georgia and Ole Miss last Saturday night?
Well, you were there, right, Joe?
I was.
Yeah. So I should be asking you, but I was watching on television, but man, they looked good, didn't they?
They really did. especially the defense. And all everybody talked about, Mike, was Ole Miss's offense is so, you know, vaunted and everything, and how their defense was an improvement. And Georgia just, you know, I know Ole Miss had that opening touchdown, but Georgia did a great job of suffocating Ole Miss's offense. They really did. They really, really did. And then offensively, I thought Beck played great. Beck played really, really great.
Well, I think that he's, boy, you know, probably the four of the five best quarterbacks in Georgia history are the last four. I mean, you know, if you think about how good these guys are, just the level of performance that you get from Aaron Murray, Stetson Bennett, Carson Beck. I mean, this is unprecedented to have this run of quarterbacks, you know, over a 10, 15 year period. And, you know, it's just a whole different thing than it used to be. But yeah, Beck was great. Shocking that Bauer could get back so fast. It's just a lot of fun to win. I mean, I remember all those years where we were undefeated until we played Tennessee. We're 3-0. You know, we organized our schedule to be 3-0, and then we play Tennessee, and we lose every single time. And, you know, you play the number 8 team in the country, and you win by 35 points. I mean, this is just remarkable. It's just it's truly unprecedented, and they really have a chance to be the first three-peat champions in almost 100 years. It's really remarkable. It's an incredible testament to, you know, what Kirby Smart's done, frankly, because we've had a lot of the same advantages for a long time. But I mean, obviously, I'm a huge Mark Richt fan. I think he had bad luck. I think he had bad schedules. I think he had bad injuries. I think he had bad NCAA sanctions. But at the end of the day, there's only one Kirby Smart. So
you're absolutely right about that, Mike. And when I think about Kirby Smart, I think about his relentless recruiting and just like the network and the depth and the experience he's built. I mean, think about it. At the beginning of Kirby Smart's coaching career, he was at Georgia for one season as a running backs coach and was influential in getting Knowshon Moreno. And now Kirby Smart has grown from that running backs coach and his time at Alabama to what he is now. What has impressed you so much about Kirby from what we've seen since 2016 to now?
The thing I like about Kirby the most is, and I've learned a lot from it, and just trying to apply it to my, you know, kind of personal and professional life, is he's not taking the posture that I'm an executive and therefore I should, you know, outsource my responsibilities to other people. You know, he shows up, he walks the recruits around Sanford Stadium. He runs down the sideline and talks to someone on the field the second they've done something he wants to do different. He is so hands-on, and there is, I think, like a glorification of, you know, the executive role of being someone who depends on subordinates and their cabinet and, you know, but he runs over and he yells at the defense himself. And, you know, and, I've learned a lot from the way that he just gets himself involved in all the small details of running the team without losing sight of the broader vision. I think that's really what makes him different and better.
I love that, Mike. I love that. And I think a lot of Kirby's mannerisms and mantras, like you said, how they can be applied to everyday life and every one of us, you know, whether we're like a higher up or whether, you know, low on the, a lot of Kirby's slogans and mantras can be used in everyday life. And I find that really refreshing. At the success level that Kirby's had, and, you know, for everyday people like us, we can use mannerisms in our own lives. And I just find that really refreshing and cool with how Kirby has kind of taken over college football, so to speak, for sure. So Mike, the next topic I want to talk with you about with the University of Georgia football program, you mentioned it at the beginning of the show, and that's Tennessee. That is Georgia's next opponent this week. What are your thoughts on the Dogs going up to Knoxville?
Well, I think a lot of the team's success is that, you know, if you saw the post-game interview with Kirby Smart, he rejected the idea that now this is a game to look past. I think his success has come largely from that perspective, you know, that there are no off weeks. It does feel like a, if there is a such thing as a trap game, it feels like one to me. I mean, you know, they really, really got handed to them by Missouri. They got run all over. You know, our running game is doing great. I mean, I haven't seen the line, but I bet Vegas is going to really like us there. But, I mean, the best outfield on the field might be their quarterback all game, you know. And he's going to have the ball a lot. And Neyland Stadium is, it's a singular thing. I think it's a very, very, very dangerous game. And I think that, you know, might be even money. So I think it remains our biggest test. Just because Tennessee lost to Missouri, you know, last Saturday at noon, we thought this game might be deciding the SEC East. And two games went a little different, but I don't think that really changes the way it should be looked at. I think this is serious business. And, you know, the way things are shaping up, I was rooting so hard for Florida State to lose. They didn't. For Washington to lose. They didn't. You know, we're in a position where we either have to go undefeated and then go lose to Alabama and pray we make it in, or go undefeated and beat Alabama to be sure we make it in. So for all of our national championships and all that, I mean, there's a lot of undefeated teams right now. And we could lose out to Alabama and really be in trouble. So I think we have to beat Tennessee. I think we will beat Tech. But I think it's a tough game.
I couldn't agree more with you. I think going up to Knoxville is not the easiest place in the world. When I think back to great Georgia teams of the past that have gone up there, I think back to 2017, Georgia went up there and won 41-0. There have been really good Georgia teams that have gone up there and taken care of business. And then there are times where Tennessee has beaten us where we thought we were the better team. I think back to like 2009, the one time we faced Lane Kiffin as head coach of Tennessee. So I agree with you. I think Georgia's going to have to be on their game, and I expect they will be with Kirby Smart, as we talked about earlier in the show. I think this is a tough game for Georgia. But I will say, Mike, I feel like a lot of Georgia fans are going to make the trip up to Knoxville. I was looking at the weather report. It's supposed to be like 59 and sunny up there for a 3:30 kickoff. I mean, that's perfect football weather. You know what I mean?
That sounds pretty good. Maybe I should go. Joe, maybe we should go.
Maybe we should. I think maybe we ought to take a show trip. We ought to get you, me. You know, we'll get a good group of people to go. It should be fun going up to Knoxville. And
yeah,
I know they do that tailgate on the Vol Navy thing. Mike, how would you feel about tailgating on a boat before a Tennessee Georgia game? How would you feel about that?
That sounds pretty good.
It does. I've never tailgated on a boat before. I think it'd be cool to see, for sure. I think it would be.
I think it needs a slightly different name if it's on a boat instead of tailgating. But that's, you know, I'm not sure what that would be. What's the tailgate on a boat? I don't really know. I guess
boat gating. I don't know. Maybe. Boat gating?
Maybe.
I don't know. I guess boat gating is how you would call it. Boat gating. For sure. Well, that sounds like a plan, Mike. That sounds like a plan. So we'll take a brief intermission, and we'll be back here in a few minutes. And we're back talking Georgia Bulldog football with Mike Colleen on this week's episode of the Fan for All Seasons podcast. So, Mike, the next topic I want to talk with you about with this Georgia football team is Bowers is back, is officially back. And we've seen life without Brock, and now Brock is back into our lives. How much more explosive do you think this offense can be with Brock Bowers back for the University of Georgia?
Well, I think the proof's in the pudding. I mean, you know, Bowers is back. McConkey was playing great. You got Mims back. I mean, and honestly, I have always thought Milton was our best running back, just so injury prone. I mean, from his fresh every single year. I mean, it, you know, knock on wood, but they feel kind of unstoppable now with everybody firing. Of course, Bowers, you know, is going to be a first round pick. He's, you know, I think it's a legitimate conversation to ask, is he a top 10 ever Georgia Bulldog? I think those are legitimate questions. He's incredible. And just to add to his lore, he comes back in a few weeks from a surgery that, you know, I heard Gary Danielson say a few weeks ago, we may not see him in a Georgia Bulldogs uniform again. You know, that's what some people are saying. So he's amazing. They're amazing. I think we all saw the way he drew attention. I was talking to my friends during the first few series against Ole Miss, and I wouldn't have been shocked if they would have never targeted him and just kind of been using him as a decoy, you know, go out there, don't cut hard, run down the field, we'll throw it, you know, on the outside. And it was unclear to me whether they're doing that. Well, they definitely were not doing that. They had planned for him. He is really back, and I think he's the best player on the field every time he suits up.
I absolutely agree with you, Mike. And I got to be honest with you, when I got in the stadium and saw him warming up, I was like, holy smokes, it looks like he's gonna play. And when he came out on the field the first time, Sanford Stadium went nuts. I mean the place was absolutely going crazy when Brock came out on the field. Mike, you mentioned a guy that I want to talk to you about for a minute, and that's Kendall Milton. Milton has been a running back who is very talented, but has had injury issues throughout his University of Georgia career. How important can Kendall Milton be for this Georgia offense down the stretch?
He's really, really good. And what happens sometimes, I think, is that some players that are really, really good get devalued either because of their age or they've been injured or, you know, like those Lakers teams with Shaq and Kobe, you forget that they had Glenn Rice, who like led the NCAA in scoring, and he was their fourth option. And maybe he wasn't in his prime, but he could still score 20 points in a night when he needed them and get hot. And they had Brian Shaw. And, you know, the thing about the Bulldogs is, like, we talk about Brock Bowers, and we talk about, you know, these transfer wide receivers, and, you know, we say we lost all these running backs. And but then, you know, Kendall Milton is, like, he is the man. He is an incredible athlete, and he's been injured. So we've kind of, like, he wasn't on the magazine cover. But now he's healthy. He could be the best running back in the conference if he's healthy. We don't know. Maybe not, maybe so. But, you know, I just think he is a huge, huge, huge part of this team if he's healthy the next 5-6 weeks. And you put him with the John Edwards, you got a 1-2 punch, you got, you know, some thunder and lightning. I mean, this could be a really, really big deal for the team. You know, in the same way that, like, the backup linebacker came in. I mean, I don't know what Jimus Johnson's, you know, path is the next part of the season, but I know we've got a five-star freshman who just got major snaps on national TV, and these guys, they just keep coming. But back to Milton, I feel like Milton could be the difference maker, you know, down the stretch.
I absolutely agree with you about Kendall Milton. And Mike, what stands out to me about him, there's something about the state of Mississippi. He really likes running against those guys. Because he played really, really well in Georgia's victory last year at Mississippi State. And he ran through Ole Miss, like, for a long run of 51 yards. Probably one of the longest of the season, maybe one of the longest of his career. And I agree with you about Kendall Milton. I think he's a huge part of this Georgia offense going forward.
Well, I mean, look, I'm just a fan like everybody else. I'm sitting here talking like I know what I'm talking about. I mean, I know about as much about offensive line theory as I do about how to, you know, change a tire. But run it. Bring the linebackers in, throw the ball over their heads. You know, I mean, and I think we all heard the comment from Carson Beck after the game that he didn't get touched. And I think he's right. I mean, That was a dominant performance by an offensive line. And I don't think it's coincidental that Mims is back. He's, you know, 6'7", 340, and athletic. That probably makes a big difference.
I absolutely agree with you. And what I told my dad sitting in Sanford Stadium Saturday night, I looked at Dad and I said, Dad, Amarius Mims could start for the Falcons tomorrow.
Exactly.
He really could. He really could. So finishing up here, talking University of Georgia Bulldog football with Mike Colleen, a couple last-minute thoughts. Mike, you mentioned about the five-star freshman C.J. Allen from the Georgia Bulldogs filling in for Dumas Johnson. I know he had 9 tackles Saturday night. Just how impressed are you with some of these young guys that Georgia's able to bring in and put them in big situations and they thrive?
Well, that's just I mean, isn't that just amazing? You know, Kirby Smart, Kirby Smart, Kirby Smart. I mean, I remember when you had one big recruit everyone was excited about. You talked about him all off season, and then you got in the game, and Florida or Auburn figured a way to just shut that one person down, and we were done. And now, you know, there's just so many options. I mean, you know, Brock Bowers is out for a few games. Vlad McConkey's out for four games. You know, Dumas Johnson's out. You know, there's just so many good players. And our best offensive lineman was out for a week. And, you know, we just keep rolling. We've won a record number of games in a row. It's just remarkable. But, yeah, I mean, the inside linebacker was the player of the game, maybe. You know, and they just don't stop. They got so many good players. They have four and five stars, you know, transferring out of the system. You know, it's remarkable. I bet some of our best players are playing on other teams now, like Burton, you know, and other guys, and we just never slow down. So, but yeah, I just remember so well the old days, the 80s, 90s Bulldogs, where if Florida figured out how to shut down Garrison Hurst, we didn't have another guy to give it to. We got it figured out now pretty good.
We really do. We really do. And on that note, Mike, I really appreciate you coming on this week, talking some University of Georgia Bulldog football with me. And I look forward to having you on the show again very soon.
My pleasure, Joe. Keep up the great work, my man.
Thanks. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.
So that was a great interview we did with our man, Mike Colleen, talking University of Georgia Bulldog football with me. Always enjoy Mike's insight and conversation. Mike and I obviously go way, way back. He's one of the best people I know and is a very proud University of Georgia alum like myself. So now, guys, I'm going to tell you about FanForAllSeasons.com. It's our website where you can go. You can check out our merchandise store. Go into the Shop Merch tab. And they have all your merchandise needs met at the Fan for All Seasons merchandise store. You can get your Comfy Colors t-shirts, sweatshirts, and hoodies. It's getting cold. You may need to get those hoodies bundled up in some nice, warm Fan for All Seasons merch. Go to the Shop Merch tab. If you like this podcast, if you want to know more about us, you can find us on any major podcast platform. Give us a like, give us a follow. That's Fan for All Seasons, any major podcast platform. Give us a like, give us a follow. And now, guys, it's time to get one last word from our sponsor this week. And Fan for All Seasons is brought to you in part by Georgia Smoke Barbecue. Authentic, original smoke barbecue catering. You can learn more at georgiasmoke.com. So for Mike Colleen, this has been Jamin Joe, and this has been another exciting installment of the Fan for All Seasons podcast. I'll talk to you guys next week. See ya, and go Dogs!